whether I'm speaking or singing, or I feel so, I'm just overwhelmed, you know what I mean? God is so good, you know. I can't express in words and even in music how good God is. He is an awesome God. And He has caused and purposed us to be born in such a time as this. There's a reason why we were born in this time. Not to be overwhelmed by all the things that we hear on the news and hear people talking about, chatter out there, but to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be focused on Him. I just want to say this before I start, but it's so easy today to be carried away by the media and all this undercurrent of negativity going on in our world. No matter what people say, the United States of America is still the biggest exporter of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not to say that we're a great nation, but our people are called according to God's purposes, and God's purpose in them is to spread the gospel all over the world. That's the good news. That's the best news. All this other stuff, the collusion or the profusion or the whatever, disillusion or whatever you want to call it, it's just a smokescreen that Satan is trying to put out there to confuse masses of people. What I'm saying is not pro-Trump or against Trump. It's about the season that we're living in. Now think about this. Now can you imagine Saul of Tarsus, who was privy and taking place in the murder of believers, the stoning of believers. He had this experience on the Damascus Road. But could you imagine if he, after he came through all that and then was called Paul of Tarsus, that he would say, I don't know, it's just the Romans are too vicious and mean, and this is too much for me. This is too much for me, Lord. I mean, if he would have been carried away with the troubles of the time that he lived in, we would not have 60% of the most recent testament that we call the New Testament. It's all God's testament. It's, you want to call it old, new, it's all one. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it is one testament. People have put the thing saying this is old and this is new. This is new because it's most recent. However, this testament is the fulfilling of the prophecies of this testament. So it's all one testament. But the middle of the first century, around 49 AD, Paul of Tarsus, he traveled south from Antioch to Jerusalem and met there with the surviving followers of Jesus of Nazareth. And I asked the Lord, Lord, make me more like these men of old that were walking and talking with you, that were seeing you face to face, that were hearing your words of instruction. Make me more like these men. Make me not to hear, give ear to all the trash that's flowing around me, but to focus on your purpose for my life. We could never repay God for what He's done for us. But what we can do is lay our life down for Him and say, Lord Jesus, to the best of my ability, with your help, give me the will, Give me the drive to share your word and your gospel wherever I go. I want to tell you something. God will make ways for you that you cannot imagine if you'll just step out of the boat and start doing things that you've not been doing that you know you should be doing. I want to tell you, he will do it. It's his purpose to do it. We need to know, you know, it's like God gives us this huge, when we say yes to Jesus, God gives us this huge rucksack, if you will, full of gifts. And we sometimes go through our lives and we go, I really don't like what's going on. My boss hasn't given me a raise and I'm not making enough. I'm really working overtime. I'm just not happy with my life and I'm not, you know. But God, all that we need to live and breathe and have our being in this life is in the gift of the Lord Jesus, of what he's given us. But we sometimes as people, I'm guilty of it myself, we do not look into, see how rich we are. We are rich for such a time as this. Not just rich to be rich, not just filthy rich to be filthy rich, but for a purpose. God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And I just see it as a smokescreen that Satan is trying to basically stifle the attempts of God's people. But it is not going to work. He is a defeated foe. He goes about like a roaring lion, but he's toothless. He may look like a lion, but he is toothless. So he cannot harm you. If you will trust in the Lord, lean not to your own understanding, God will totally guide your paths from morning till evening. But like I said, if Paul would have been carried away with the troubles of his time, if the apostles would have been carried away by the troubles of their time, seeing that they were going to be scattered abroad and they were going to be persecuted, we wouldn't have this blessed word that we have today. But we have it. We should treasure it. We should dig into it to see what God has for us. It's great riches there for us. One of the things that I think that is so important and necessary for us today is God's peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Can you hear me? It's the peace of God.
Put that on because you're teaching. I'm recording.
Okay.
I was singing.
I'm going to in 2 minutes.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Well, we can turn this off. You can turn this off. Turn this off when he sings, okay?
But I don't have braces.
Yeah.
Okay.
There you go.
I thought it was one of those things you
No,
were
the other thinking. Way, the other way, yeah.
Oh, like that? Oh, okay. Hallelujah.
See, now we can hear your teaching.
Honolulu. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Before I get started, I just want to share a few things with you. You know, there was a young man that Sasha and I and Hannah and I, we'd known him since he was just a little kid. He's about 9 years old. And when he was went into intermediate school, when he went to intermediate school, he was always, he loved the Lord. He was raised in a Christian home and he was saved at a very young age, but he was always trying to be different. And I told him, his name is Austin. I said, Austin, you are different. You are different because you love the Lord Jesus. That's the only thing that you need to glory in, not because you have a certain t-shirt or you went to a certain place on a vacation or this or that or the other. But for many years, I was kind of down on him, and I kind of felt that he was wanting to learn about messianic things just to be different. Well, you know, sometimes we can be very wrong. This young man is not someone that you would think would be athletic or, a real manly young man. But he right now, he's a believer, he's a U.S. citizen, he is fighting in the elite forces of the Golani forces in Israel. He's on the border right now in Gaza. And there are hellions that are sniping at these soldiers every day. And I ask you to pray for these guys. But you see, God does something wonderful in our hearts. He put a dream. He put a hope. He put a will in this young man. And he not only is serving in the military, he's serving in the Israeli Defense Forces in Israel. And my hat is off to this young man. And that's just like each one of us. God wants to challenge us to be more than we are, to do more than what we're doing now. Amen. He has called us to a time such as this, not to wring our hands, not to pace back and forth and say, oh, Jerry Brown, oh my goodness gracious, he's nuts. No, that's not what God called us to do. Our God called us to pray for this man to be delivered, to pray for this man to be set free by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might really serve the people and the Lord with his whole heart. Not to wring our hands and make fun and all that. Of course, it's, you know, okay. We do it. I do it. But I pray for these guys too. And I'm really convicted of making fun and not doing what I really should do. I wanted to share one other thing with you also. My mother, about a month and a half ago, went to be with the Lord Jesus. And she was sick for quite a long time. She was bedridden. She had to be picked up and put in a wheelchair. She couldn't stay up much during the day. But in the end, she knew that her Redeemer lives. And she knew where her reward is. She knew the words of the Lord Jesus that said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." She rested in these things. And that's something that we need in this hour, in our hearts, in our lives. We need the peace of God. We need the, we need God to continually to challenge us, to make us stronger in our will for Him. But we also need, as a foundation, His peace wherever we go, knowing that we could walk, just like the psalmist said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom then shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? Though war should rise against me, though many should rise against me to eat my flesh, I have this hope that I trust in the Lord God implicitly. And I am not leaning to my own understanding, but all of His promises that He has given me. That He will protect me. He will deliver me. Though a host of men should rise against me, Jesus Christ will deliver me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But I just wanted to share that. You know, my mom, she just had, you know, and I've been asked probably on four or five occasions to go and sing and pray for people that were in hospice care and they were in their last days or even hours. And there was a lot of pain that they were experiencing. I'm so thankful to the Lord, but I prayed, Lord, please don't let my mom suffer. She suffered enough raising us. She paid a price to be our mother. Lord, you paid a price to be her Savior, and she loves you. May she receive what you have had already waiting for her. My sisters and I prayed for my mom, and we released her to the Lord, and she went so peacefully. I wasn't there the exact moment that she left. I was there up till late, early in the morning of that morning that she went to be with the Lord. But the most interesting thing happened, and I must share it. I know it sounds like a Twilight Zone thing, though. I called my sister on that Monday, June the 18th. And I said, I was going to ask her, I was going to say, you know, how's Mama doing, you know? And she did not answer the phone. And that was about 9:05. And my other sister called me at 9:30. She said, Bubba, I just wanted to tell you Mama passed. And we need to meet today, you know, me and you and Tony, my sister Tony. So I went over there. And so anyway, we were making plans. I had to go out that her funeral was on Friday. We ministered in her service. My brother-in-law and I sang in her service. And on Saturday, I had to go to a worship service. I was invited to go to a worship service at the Baptist church. So I was getting ready, and I picked up my watch. I have two watches, one that you wind and another one that's self-winding. I picked up the self-winding watch, and I thought, oh, I'm going to have to reset it. It stopped on June 18th, so I just put it down. So I picked this one up, and I wore it the night before, so I just, you know, set it and wound it. So the next day, I was going somewhere, and my sister called. Oh, when I got home that night, my sister called me on Saturday. Yeah. And so I said, Cheryl, I wanted to know, when did Mama pass? She said, well, actually, it was about 9:10 a.m., and I said, that's interesting because I called Tony at 9:05. She said, yeah, she went at 9:10 a.m. on June 18th. So I went to go the next day, Sunday. I was going to wear my other watch, so I picked it up. I look at it, 9:10, June 18th. Don't call me superstitious, but I just haven't wound that watch. I haven't wound it. You know, it's self-winding. I haven't fooled with it anymore. But anyway, God wants to be in the center of our lives as he never has before. The world is crying. We don't hear it the way God hears it. But I ask God to help me and tune my ears to hear those hurts the way he hears it, so that I can weep with those that weep, mourn with those that mourn, rejoice with those that rejoice, and also speak to those that are lost right where they are. Amen. But I just wanted to say, in this time, we do need peace. We need the peace of God that passes all understanding. And I just wanted to share this with you out of 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse 7. Hallelujah. Let me just start a little bit before this. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your care upon him, because he cares about you. Be serious, be alert. For your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone he can devour. Resist him and be firm in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. Now the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will personally restore, establish, strengthen, and support you after you have suffered a little. The dominion belongs to our Lord and Savior forever and ever. Amen. And the next verse that I would like to share is out of Psalm 29, verse 4. These are really strong scriptures for peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding to guard your heart and your mind. That's Psalm 29, verse 4. That says, that's not right. It's verse 14, I'm sorry. That's not right either. What did I do? I wrote down the wrong thing. Oh, it's Psalm 34, verse 14. Forgive me, please. Psalm 34, verse 14. Turn away from evil and do what is good. Seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help. The face of the Lord is set against those who do evil, to erase all memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is near the brokenhearted, and he saves those crushed in spirit. Then Psalm 119, which is a very long psalm, and that's verse 165. Abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction or your law. Nothing can make them stumble. Lord, I hope in your salvation and carry out your commands. I obey your decrees and love them greatly. I obey your precepts and decrees, for all my ways are before you. Then 1 Peter, I know I'm all over the place, but I want to give you these in the succession that the Lord gave them to me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. I'll start on verse 8, actually. Now, finally, all of you should be like-minded and sympathetic, should love believers, and be compassionate and humble, not paying back evil for evil or insult for insult, but on the contrary, giving a blessing, since you were called for this, so that you can inherit a blessing. For the one who wants to love life and to see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceit. And he must turn away from evil and do what is good. He must seek peace and pursue it, because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their request. But the face of the Lord is against those who do what is evil. Now, Isaiah chapter 26, you know, if you can walk in the peace of the Lord in this life, you can tread upon serpents and scorpions that come out before you. If you can just have his peace, there's nothing that can come against your house. there's nothing that can come against your house because God's peace is abiding in you and with you. It's covering you. Hoping and trusting in Him alone. Isaiah 26, starting with verse 3. And I'm going to go through verse 12. I'll go through there. You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace. I will keep them in perfect peace, says the Lord, whose mind is stayed on me. For it is trusting in you, Lord. Trust in the Lord forever, because in Yah, the Lord, he is an everlasting rock. For he has humbled those who live in lofty places, in an inaccessible city. He brings it down. He brings it down to the ground. He throws it to the dust. Feet trample it, and the feet of the humble, the steps of the poor. The path of the righteous, however, is level. You clear a straight path for the righteous. Yes, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, we wait for you in the path of your judgments. Our desire is for your name and renown. I long for you in the night. Yes, my spirit within me diligently seeks you. For when your judgments are in the land, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. But if the wicked man is shown favor, he does not learn righteousness. In a righteous land, he acts unjustly and does not see the majesty of the Lord. Boy, that's in our government today. In the righteous land, he acts unjustly and does not see the majesty of the Lord. Lord, your hand is lifted up to take action, but they do not see it. They will see your zeal for your people, and they will be put to shame. The fire for your adversaries will consume them. Lord, you will establish peace for us, for you have also done all our work for us. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, our God, lords other than you have ruled over us, but we remember only your name. Hallelujah. Then Isaiah 54, verse 10. And that simply says, though the mountains move and the hills shake, my love will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says your compassionate Lord. That's a great scripture. Isaiah 54, verse 10. Though the mountains move and the hills shake, my love will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says your compassionate Lord. Then Isaiah 55, verse 12. You will indeed go out with joy and be peacefully guided. The mountains and the hills will break into singing before you, and all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now let us go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. That's Matthew 11. Verses 28. I need to get some new glasses. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Do you think that could bring you peace? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Then go, let's see, we'll go there to John 16:33. Lord, may your peace rest on us as never before in such a way, Father, to constantly encourage us in these times that we're living in. And Jesus responded to them, "Do you now believe? Look, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world, but be of good cheer, be courageous. I have conquered the world." Very strong scripture. John 16:33. Then John 14:27-31. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. You have heard me tell you, I am going away, and I am coming again to you. But if you loved me, you would have rejoiced that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe. I will not talk with you much longer, because the ruler of the world is coming. He has no power over me. On the contrary, I am going away, so that the world may know that I love the Father, just as the Father commanded me, so I do. Get up, let's leave this place," said Jesus. Hallelujah. In 2 Thessalonians 3:16. "May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with all of you. This greeting is in my own hand," signed Paul. "This is a sign in every letter. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Romans 15:13. And mind you, all of these, Paul's letters here, let's see, this Romans 15:13. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." That is really a strong scripture. Listen to that again. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." How much hope do you think the world has, specifically in our country today? How much hope? I mean, the last president, he was talking about hope, hope, hope. But the government and presidents cannot give hope. Only God can give hope. Because hope is something, how should I say this? A precursor of peace is hope. You read the word and you see what Jesus said. You hope in your heart. This is for me. This is me. Thank you, Lord. I'm hoping. I'm hoping. But the more you read the word, you find out this peace, this joy, this love, this redemption, this cleansing, this joy, this, how should I say, the being,
how should I say, being equipped for every need in your life is the peace of God. It's the peace of God in your life. Let's go to Philippians 4. Did I read Romans 15, 13? Yes, I did. Sorry. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. I want to start here with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. Let your graciousness be known to everyone, for the Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Go a little bit further. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is any praise, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Hallelujah. God is so good. You know, there is a special blessing. There is a special blessing that comes on the believer as he shares his heart with lost folks. Well, you know, we don't... Can I take this off now or not? Is it, or should I leave it on? It's just kind of... Anyway. There is a blessing that comes upon us. Is it? Can I take it off or not?
Yeah.
And I'll hold this other mic. Thank you, sir.
Oh, a tip too. Thank you.
Tip. The mic rental. If I sang this song for my mother once during the last years of her life, I think she wanted me to sing it for her all the time. But there is a blessing. Those that share the Lord Jesus with the lost, the Old Testament says that they will shine as lights in the firmament, in the heavens. Is it on?
Yeah, it's on.
Hallelujah. So I'm just going to sing this without any accompaniment, because I would love for you to hear these words. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. It will be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story
more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story. Jesus did so much for me, and that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. You know, God is so wonderful. He is more than wonderful. He is amazing. He brought these wonderful pastors here to be your pastors. You know, you can teach somebody how to to preach the word, to follow a outline and like this and that, but you cannot teach someone to love the flock, that has somebody to have a shepherd's heart for the flock. And that's what God's put in your midst here at this church. I'm so blessed by that. I'm so blessed to see my friend Larry Ligand. I'm so blessed to see him. I see the love of God in my brothers. I see the love of God in my brother. I see the love of God in action in my brother. And he's sitting in here with us. And he's upright today. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. God has put people in your lives to be thankful for, to rejoice over God putting them in your lives for a purpose, for a plan, for such a time as this, for such a time as we would pray for Larry. You would pray for your friends. You would pray for your loved ones that are having difficulties with their health or whatever, with problems in their lives. You can minister words of life. You have the antidote to any sickness, disease, infirmity of mind, of whatever is right in this book right here, and God will reveal it to you. Seek his peace with your whole heart. You will be comforted, and God will open doors for you that you've never seen open before. I'm telling you, this is a time for us to be bold. You hear about all this boldness of these people, Antifa and Me Too and all. I'm not saying that some of the causes, I don't know about the Antifa, but I don't, that, but some of the causes, violence to women is bad. Violence to anybody is bad. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We need to go out in the highways and byways and bid them to come out and come in here so that we can show them the love that they're searching for. They're trying to find it in a job or in a boat on the lake or all different kinds of things. You can only find it through the Lord Jesus. I'm not saying it's not bad to have a boat. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Things. It's not bad for us to have things. But when things have us, That's the problem. Amen? And we've got to be faithful to our Lord and Savior. If you read Malachi just before that, the space there before the Messiah came, you read in Malachi, God was very upset because they were unfaithful to him. And he was constantly faithful to them. Constantly. And they were constantly unfaithful to him. How have we been unfaithful to you, God? You know, I mean, it's sickening, really. But he sent the Messiah for all to be saved. God would not that one perish, but that all would come to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to ask you tonight also, if you would pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Please pray for our brothers and sisters. I have this particular Bible. I know it's not a translation that you're used to. But in your Bible, if you would turn to Psalm 122. I rejoiced with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing within your gates, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, built as a city should be, solidly joined together, where the tribes, Yahweh, if you want to, where Yahweh's tribes go up to give thanks to the name of the Lord. This is a law for Israel. Their thrones for judgment are placed, thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you prosper, and may there be peace within your walls, prosperity within your fortresses. Because of my brothers and friends, I will say, "Peace be with you." Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Father, we just pray for our brothers and sisters today in Israel, scattered all through Israel, Father. May they come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. May they see the Savior that has been distorted by governments and different people. May they see your promise, the bread of life, born in Beit Lechem. He was born in a town called the House of Bread. And he is the bread of life. May they see him as you want them to see him, Lord. Take the blinders off of their eyes, what they've been taught by generations back, how the Messiah has been distorted to them. May they see the love and mercy of God Almighty sending his only begotten Son to hang on that tree and to receive our sins and guilt upon himself, that he might spill his blood and be resurrected to life again, that we might have your life more abundantly. May they wake up to that life, Lord. Protect them in this hour, I pray, Lord. I feel a fervency in my heart to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. May they know you, Father. May they know you, Father. May we have a burning in our hearts to pray for our brothers and sisters, especially the Jewish people. And I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, bless the people here in a special way, Lord. Bless them with an abundant peace, a peace that sometimes we let escape so easy because we can't even acknowledge that we have it sometimes. But when we call on you and pray to you, peace should totally be surrounding us, and we should feel that peace. We should know that peace. We should experience that peace in such a way that peace, if you will, is our friend that you've given us by the power of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' name, amen.